Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com. And you can join their team today. It's Bish, EB, and JP. We're going to talk to Will Dawkins, the Wizards GM, coming up at 8:25. Don't want to miss that. Plus Mark Ein.
We got some heavy hitters today.
Commanders, yeah, minority owner, chairman of the Mubadala DC Open, will join us to talk about the tennis tournament. But we have to touch on the latest stadium news. The Commanders have issued a response following a proposal to remove the RFK Stadium lease from the district's upcoming budget plan, and they say that development could jeopardize their long-anticipated return to the city. Mm. The Commanders emphasize that the project represents more than just a home field. So they've, you know, been lobbying hard, but it sure seems like the city council throws a monkey wrench on everything, right?
I don't know. I mean, I think these guys are looking for some more like fiscal assurances. I'm all for fiscal responsibility. If they have to grandstand a little bit, hold out to get what they need to make it make sense financially, I'm fine with it.
As of 2 days ago, only four of the necessary seven council members have publicly backed the proposal.
Yeah.
And there's a July 15th deadline looming. So,
is that the self-imposed deadline from Josh Harris? Like, the Harris group wants him to get it done sooner
rather than later. Well, I think that came from the mayor's office.
Oh, that came from the mayor's office?
Yeah, okay. Pretty sure. He just said that he wants the deal.
He wants it done soon.
He wants the new stadium to be open by 2030.
Right. Yes.
So they want to start this as quick as possible. And it sounded like he was kind of pissed. And he said, look, if you can't get the deal done, I'll look somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's a real threat. And he's just, you know.
I think that's really a real threat.
If it is, then D.C. needs to get it together. Because he will move it.
Here's the statement from the Commanders, issued through their spokesperson. The Commanders are committed to working with the council around the clock to keep this project on schedule and deliver a world-class stadium for the district by 2030. And then they go into what they believe. This is about more than just a stadium. It's an investment in families, local workers, and long-term economic opportunity that will transform the community, district, and the region.
Right, but all that's
any
just words.
Substantive delays will jeopardize D.C.'s ability to attract premier concerts, global talent, and marquee events, including the 2031 FIFA Women's World Cup.
So show me the money. Show me how it's going to work.
Does this worry you?
No.
I mean, maybe it should worry you if Josh is saying, hey, if this doesn't happen, I'll go elsewhere. Because then all of a sudden the other players get back in the mix.
I'm fine with them holding them accountable, and let's figure out exactly how we're going to make up all this money we're going to spend. Like, it's billions of dollars at stake here.
I'm team DC here.
Yeah,
me too. By the way, the mayor submitted her budget butt late, beyond the deadline. And they're just doing their due diligence.
Right.
I heard Zachary Parker on with Grant and Danny, and he made some great points. I'll see if I can pull some up here real
and
quick.
And Parker, what, is he one of the guys?
Yeah. He's
one of the council members.
Council members. And, you know, stuff like you wouldn't even think of, like the land being used for parking. Where does that money that's generated for parking, mm-hmm. who gets that money? What kind of rev share is being?
Right.
And they have to go comb through this, which was submitted late, so they're just separating it from what was added to it so that they can read through it, do their due diligence, counter how the stadium's going to make money for D.C. I mean, they were behind the eight ball as soon as it was submitted.
The Commanders want to break ground next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it might be in jeopardy. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, the council chair, Phil Mendelson, said no one should infer from the introduction of the latest bill that funding in the mayor's proposed budget for the Commanders team is in jeopardy. But there are some that are inferring that.
He said council members have said that they support leaving the funding as proposed by the mayor in the budget. The attached bill would not alter that. So Mendelsohn seems still positive about it. I don't know about these Zachary Parkers of the world, but maybe you're right. So because they have said, and Mendelsohn said this too. He said, we just don't have all the data, and maybe that's part of it. They don't have all the information yet.
And they're expecting to pass these billion-dollar budget, you know, like the largest one in the city's history.
But that kind of surprises me because the mayor's office and, you know, the city should have all of that already out in front and saying, this is what you're getting. This is how much we think we're going to get. I mean, such a big deal, you would think that information would be proposed.
I'm not sure they've thought about everything yet.
Apparently not.
Do you want to hear Zachary Parker on with Grant and Danny? I think this was Friday.
Yeah.
I also heard Eric Flack on with Grant and Danny. When I listen to him, he's got all the details, and I'm never super encouraged.
I would say the overwhelming majority of the council is excited about this opportunity. And my sense is we will get this done. I think there is a level of skepticism by some that a delay is merely a tactic to keel or divert this project, and that is not what is happening at all. We would be irresponsible to merely sign off on a deal if we didn't read all of the fine print and do our vetting. And all we're saying is, in good faith, let's keep talking with the commanders, working together, and strike the right deal. You had asked earlier about other jurisdictions, and I would just say we would ask the commanders to continue to work with us, ideally exclusively. But we do not believe that taking a few extra weeks will pose that significant of a risk that Virginia or Maryland would be able to swoop in to steal the commanders from the district. And we get a sense that they too want to come home. So let's make it happen.
Yeah. So did you mention Eric Flack's the tweet that he sent out?
I didn't see the tweet, but I just mentioned listening to his interview.
He said, just talked to a D.C. council member who got real about what the commanders want out of timelines to approve the stadium deal and what's really going to happen. And the commanders might not like what I heard. And, of course, he says, you know, team says 2030 is the target date. But he says the commanders might not like what I heard. Now he doesn't go into what he heard. But
what do you mean in terms of being able to hit those dates?
To hit the dates.
Those timelines?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if they want to break ground next year, I guess it's a four-year project because they want to open in 2030.
Mm-hmm. And they hit snags, things, you know,
but
red tape.
The way I look at it is it's only June 27th, and they said July 15th is, you still got, you know, 2.5 weeks
happen. I know a few days ago there was a Maryland state senator who wants to fight for the commanders to stay at FedEx.
Oh, sure. To swoop in now, right?
That's what I'm saying. That everybody was excited about the initial news. And Mayor Bowser came on this show. And everything seems still to be, I'm not saying it's not headed in that direction, but it seems to be headed in the direction of the team returning to RFK.
Yeah.
Most of the fan base excited about the team returning to RFK.
Yeah, I think it'd be great.
It's like, but
it's got to make sense.
Right. If there's a hiccup, then other, you know, things may open up.
I'm pretty sure the biggest problem or the biggest gap is with parking, and where the rev share is going to.
That's
part of the park problem.
Well, that should be
that's
able
part
to
of the biggest problem.
I would think they should be able to sit right. down.
Right. It's a negotiation.
Could it be a 50-50 split?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like that hard to negotiate.
It's just that massive deal, and you can't just, I know JP said you'd be a rubber stamp. I would not be a rubber stamp. You can't just be a rubber stamp.
Is DC leasing the land for parking to Josh Harris, and then Josh Harris gets all of the revenue from parking, or is that pot being divvied up, or what's the percentage of how that's going to be divvied up if the Harris group has to pay a yearly lease on the land, and is that price locked in for X amount of years? It's very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like we got to get Mayor Bowser on the show again. Ask her these
and
questions.
I don't think she should just get some pass with this. I mean, the reason why it's so behind is
they were so behind putting
it together. Yeah, they were so behind putting it together.
Yeah. Listen, I'm sure that there's some guys grandstanding and want their little pet projects, whatever. That's what happens. It's kind of standard. But I don't expect them to just rubber stamp this. It's a massive deal. They got to try to be as fiscally responsible as they can. It seems like our government people are never that particularly fiscally responsible. So let's I'm okay with it.
And Josh needs to exercise a little patience. Like, I know he wants it by a certain date, and I know the Women's World Cup 2031 is looming, and that's a huge thing, but, you know, it's the way it is.
Well, he's dealt with stadium issues or arena issues with the 76ers.
Mm-hmm. He has.
You know, so...
But he got it done.
You can say there's impatience, but also, the longer it lingers, it may be tougher to actually make it happen in D.C. So, on Wednesday, the D.C. Council essentially just separated the redevelopment of RFK from the rest of the budget.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bill that was introduced, right, by Phil Mendelson. Doesn't necessarily mean it's spiking the project. I think you're right. They're looking at it further. But it just makes you nervous. And I think the recent history of what happened with Alexandria and the Wizards and Caps, it'll always make you think, well, that could happen here.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. You can't just promise stuff that you can't deliver. So,
this is what I don't understand. So they set this July 15th deadline, but if they don't want to break ground until next year, why do they have to have the July 15th deadline? Why can't the deadline be November 15th?
I don't know.
Or October 15th.
Red tape you got to run through it before you can even break ground, Jason, right?
Yeah, I'm sure, but you got another 5 months, 6 months.
I don't know. Dude, it's a massive, massive project.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So take your time. I'm kind of with Valdez on this. Take your time. Don't make it a hard deadline and then say, all right, if you don't get it done by July 15th or approve it, we're going to Maryland. Just let it get done. Negotiate
the
deals.
We'll drag their feet wherever, though.
Okay,
that's
what I'm saying.
Perspective, at the end of the day, he just needs a freaking stadium.
You can give a hard deadline, because if you want to start breaking ground in 26, you have to have a hard deadline. But it doesn't have to be July 15th.
Yeah, Mendelson says they don't have key financial data.
Yes.
To make the final decision.
Well, that's what Matt's saying.
Yeah, get him the data.
It's more than that. It's a
like might not have the data.
They're talking about like the what interest rate on the bonds are they going to get? Like all this stuff is unknown.
Yeah.
There's massive issues out there. They're way bigger than we can comprehend. And in the Harris Group, God bless them, they just want them to rubber stamp it. And I don't think that they can responsibly do that. I'm fine with them. Figure it out. If they move.
I think they still will figure it out.
I think if I had to bet, I would bet they do figure it out. Yeah. I don't know by what timeline, but I bet eventually when push comes to shove, they'll get it across the finish line. If I had to bet.
I mean, does DC want do the council members still want RFK to sit there and
well, they got property? Regardless, I agree with Sheehan on that.
They got to do something.
They got to at least continue tearing that thing down.
Well,
what are they waiting for?
Councilman Parker said that they are willing to negotiate while the demolition begins.
Yeah.
So that hopefully you can make up some time that way.
Right. Because they got to demolish that thing regardless of whether they get a new stadium or not.
Yeah.
That thing's got to go regardless.
I mean, if you don't put a stadium there or...
Put a park there. It looks ridiculous.
It looks awful.
Yeah. Well, apparently they can't just blow it to smithereens, right? Because of the asbestos.
I have no idea.
This is what...
But it's a little more complicated, this demolition.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about this 2 weeks ago, and you asked me to reach out to the mayor's office?
Mm-hmm.
This is what someone on her team said to me. The work inside the stadium is already happening. Right now, most of the work is inside the stadium, so you won't see a lot of activity from the outside. It started in January, but if you go over now, you'll see trucks, crews, and equipment actively working, taking the stadium down.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't just blow it up. They got to do it
piece
by piece.
It's not like a Vegas hotel.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're doing it piece by piece.
Yeah.
So that's why it's going to take longer.
As long as they're doing it. Regardless if they get a new stadium or not, that thing needs to go. So it's good that they're working on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, they got to put something there. It just looks atrocious.
You
got to get down and put. I don't know if you're not putting a stadium. I don't know if you're going to put a park there. I don't know if you're going to put hotels and restaurants there without the stadium. But you got to put something there.
My mom was in a rehab center in Landover, right? And I exited there, and I literally drove right in front of the stadium.
Yeah.
Like literally. It was right there outside my window.
Yeah.
And it is such an eyesore.
Sure.
It is so atrocious.
Yeah.
You're talking about RFK? Because the rehab center, isn't that right by FedEx?
Yeah, that was FedEx.
You're talking about FedEx.
You're
talking about FedEx. That
was
atrocious.
FedEx.
Yeah, because your mom was in the rehab center.
Yeah, you're right. I was talking about FedEx.
Right in Landover.
Right in front of the stadium. I see that
FedEx isn't great looking either.
Yeah, it's not.
But it's better looking than RFK.
I see RFK. You know,
what are they going to do with FedEx? I know they got to play in FedEx until the stadium's
that one. I'm guessing that they would demolish and just turn into real estate.
Yeah, put into homes. Yeah,
I mean that area. Has developed.
I mean, home developers are going to make a billion on that property.
Yeah, kind of in Prince George's County, eventually, where the old Wild World, which is Six Flags, mm-hmm. that's going to be developed, mm-hmm. right? Because they're shutting down Six Flags.
Right.
And then who knows what happens there. But like I said, when this lingers, that leaves wiggle room for the other states to get in the mix. Now, Virginia has been more quiet, but here you have a Maryland senator a couple days ago saying, hey, we still want to get in the mix. And it seemed like the governor, Wes Moore, was kind of playing ball, saying, okay, whatever. D.C., go ahead, more power to you. But I could see Maryland getting back in the mix.
I doubt it. But maybe. It's always possible. Let's go to Steve at Fairfax. You may know more than us. Steve, what's up?
What's up, boys?
Hey.
What's happening?
To piggyback off of what Jason and Matt said, that you know RFK is still standing. Mm-hmm. It's not even demolished yet. I mean, this sounds like this is a lot of red tape. And, you know, I think certain council members are grandstanding saying, you know, they got this little thing, this little nugget for the city. Mm-hmm. So, you know, re-election's coming up. I believe Mendelson's chair is coming up for re-election and other members as well. So I think this is just a ploy. I get it. They need time to scrutinize everything. I get it. I think they can meet in the middle instead of having a July 15th date. Why not do it like an August 15th or the end of August? Still plenty of time. The stadium's still standing. It's not going to go anywhere until, you know, next year. I don't think anybody's going to swoop in. Virginia doesn't want it. I don't think Maryland can afford it. You know, the money for Maryland's budget is in the tank now. Rick Snyder talks about it all the time on his little YouTube videos that, mm-hmm. you know, this is just grandstanding and politics at its best, unfortunately. And, you know, the Harris group, they know what they're doing. Again, these are billion-dollar guys. They knew what they were getting into. I think the cat's kind of out of the bag. They want to be in everybody knows they want to be in D.C. D.C. wants them in, you know, in the city. This is just, you know, just working out.
A hiccup.
Yep. All right. Thank you,
apparently,
buddy.
Appreciate
the
demolition of RFK began in 2022.
Yeah, who would know?
I guess they're saying they started removing the old wooden seats, stadium seats. And in 2023, Smoot Construction Company came in and started working on asbestos abatement.
Smooty Flakes.
Universal waste removal and disposal of non-hazardous materials.
I didn't know Fred Smoot was involved in that business.
He's got a lot of businesses, actually.
He does.
Let's go to Tim. Tim, what's up, bud? Going with the junk.
Yes, hi. Good morning. You know, I'm reading in the Washington Post, and I just want to comment on the stadium deal.
Okay.
Mendelson says, as soon as possible after the public hearing, which his staff would be held, the public hearing would be July 29. And on July 30, the team hearing and government officials. Now, as soon as possible, they'll vote on this after these hearings. I don't know what as soon as possible is, but it sounds to me that if they're holding public hearings July 29 and then for the team July 30, they're trying to move ahead, you know, with this deal, because earlier we were thinking that maybe it could be delayed until September. Voting as soon as possible. That's the wild card here, and I just think we have to wait for these public hearings and see how it plays out.
I think you're right. Okay. Appreciate the call.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it, buddy. It's complicated. It's over our head.
It just continues.
I know.
It continues.
I just want it done. Yes. I really do.
Going to be years. No matter what happens, it's going to be years, this process.
When did we first, you think, start talking about the Commanders, the then Redskins, needing a new stadium?
Oh, man, it must have been 15 years ago. It wasn't even that old. And people were just
probably before RG3, right?
They started ripping out seats.
Well, that was maybe a little bit after.
I don't know. At one point, weren't they?
I feel like the unhappiness began probably after 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
People started going, the stadium sucks.
I always thought it was fine, but yeah. Compared to what they're putting out there now, yeah, it's hot garbage.
Will Dawkins, Wizards GM, going to join us at 8:25. Mark Ein, minority owner of the Commanders, at 9:40 here on the Junkies. Everybody wants their ADs, right, Jason?
Yes, sir.
You know this. My daughter just called me.
I know, I heard.
Isabella and Sophia are watching us on TV.
Oh,
they wanted their names mentioned. They had a sleepover.
What's up, girls?
Generally don't have sleepovers except for weekends, but they're going to camp together, so they're doing tennis and soccer camp.
Mm-hmm.
And they're watching the Junks.
You call Isabella Bella ever, or is it?
I usually call her Isabella. Most people, she prefers to be called Bella, but I'm holding on to Isabella.
But never Izzy.
I'll call her Bella sometimes.
Never Izzy.
No, Dylan calls her Izzy sometimes.
Okay. I mean, I love the name, but I would probably call her Bella.
She would introduce herself as Bella.
Yeah. Mm. Bella and Soph.
But
what about Jess? What does Jess call her?
She mostly calls her Bella.
Yeah, yeah.
Mostly
it's just
Bella.
Easier.
But
I get it.
I'm a guy that, you know, was born with the name John Paul that people would butcher all the time, try to call me John, so I try to hold on to that original name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably like, well, your son, Steven, you call him,
so we go back and forth? Yeah, Stevie and Steven.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But, yeah. Stevie.
So yesterday we were talking about the rebuilds of both the Wizards and the Nationals. And we threw out the question, and we want to throw it out to callers now. Which rebuild do you believe in more? It's not which one's further along. There's no doubt that the Nationals, at least they should be further along, because the Nationals have been doing it since they won the World Series. They haven't had a winning season since they won the World Series. And it's not to say that they started the rebuild the next year. That's not what happened. But you could go back to the Soto deal, which has netted them some really good players. It's netted them C.J. Abrams, who's been an all-star. James Wood, who's going to be an all-star. Mackenzie Gore, who should be an all-star. So they've netted good players. You could say that the Nats have stars already. But I think they're 13 games under 500 right now, and they're well on their way to their sixth straight losing season. Meanwhile, the Wizards, they bring in Will Dawkins, who we're going to talk to in an hour,
Nats
to
be the GM. 15 games under 500.
Oh, they're 15.
Yeah. They're dead last in the division behind the Marlins.
So the Wizards, a little fresher rebuild, right? You can basically say that starts when you trade away Beal, you hire Winger, who's the team president, you hire Will Dawkins, who's the GM, we're going to talk to in an hour. First draft, they draft Lal Koulibaly from France. Second draft, they draft Alex Sarr. We've seen them move on from other players and contracts, but they brought in other veterans. Jordan Poole is now out. C.J. McCollum's in. They have this draft. Last draft, they get Bub Carrington. They get George. They get Sarr. So which of the rebuilds do you believe in? I said this yesterday. I would plant my flag with the Wizards. I have a lot of faith in Will Dawkins. And I do think that the turnaround has a better chance, especially, Jason brought this up, or maybe it was Drab. The Nationals got to deal with the Mets, who are spending an inordinate amount of money, and they got to deal with the Phillies,
Braves,
who have a big payroll, and the Braves.
Yep.
Like, it's going to be tougher for them. So, I'm Team Wizards. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067.
What's the definition of success? Like, are we saying win
championship?
Okay, so championship.
Yes.
Right. I just don't see a championship in the Wizards' horizon. I mean, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, do you see I would say, the Nationals' horizon?
Matt, I would say success for both teams now is just postseason.
Well, if that's the case, the NBA.
Because the Wizards are never going to win an NBA championship. That's
I find it hard to believe that they're going to get to that
level. I think it might be easier to be a perennial postseason team in the NBA because of all the spots.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you got to start there.
Heck, you even have a play-in tournament, and if you win that could be considered success.
There you go.
I just want to be like, you know, contenders sort of in the mix every year, fun to watch.
How about
like what the Nats were for 10 years?
How about win your division? Because championships are hard. Anybody can make the playoffs. How about win your division?
Okay. I don't know that you chimed yesterday. Which one do you believe in more, Drab?
The Wizards. I was the one who said the thing about the Mets and the Phillies.
Okay, you did say that.
Yeah, because we're 2 years into Will Dawkins here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. I've already stated this. I'm tired of Davey. I'm frustrated with the learners. Mike's missed on a lot of the guys he's drafted. I have no faith in the Nationals whatsoever right now. They have two and a half really good players. That's not going
to
cut it.
Yeah, the Nationals feel to me right now kind of like how the Wizards felt when they had Bradley Beal and they were, you know, they're winning some games, but you don't have great hope. Like, this is a restart, a true rebuild for the Washington Wizards, which they never did. Yeah. They always floated around 30 wins, and you were frustrated by that. So,
well, I would say this, and I understand why Drabby would say what he said, you know, that it's been a long time since they, you know, went to the playoffs. Obviously, they won the World Series the last time they went to the playoffs. But they were battling those teams in terms of spending for, you know, for those 5 or 6 years, and they were winning the division. Now, they were spending more because when Ted Lerner was alive, he was spending more than Mark Lerner. So I think it depends on who the owner is, and maybe you feel like you need a new owner to spend more money, and I agree with that. But I think if they did get a new owner, then they're going to spend more money and they can compete more with the Mets and the Braves and the Phillies. Now, if it's just going to be Mark Lerner for the next 5 years, then you're probably right.
Where do you plant your flag, Jason? You got to pick one.
I said the other day slightly with the Nats, but I don't know. I'm wavering now.
1-800-636-1067. Here are a couple of tweets. The Nats need to start the rebuild. Gorewood and company would only work if we had better players on the roster. Ownership refuses to spend. Gore and Wood 100% will not re-sign as Nationals. I mean, how do you know that?
Well,
he says, I hope I'm not wrong, but I just can't see it based on track record.
Yeah.
Another one from Mitch. Learners won't spend money. They're slowly morphing into the Pirates. Zero reason to believe in the Nats rebuild.
Well, I'll take the other side, and I do kind of believe it. They were just 30-32 or 30-33 a couple weeks ago. I keep saying that over and over and over. Every team has injuries, but they've had a couple critical ones. When they get, let's assume Cavalli hits. It's a big assumption, but assume he hits as a you know, a real frontline top three or whatever starter. JoJo comes back. We've seen what he's capable of. Right? Not this year.
But we don't know how he's going to recover from
most of these guys come back pretty well.
I hope you're right.
Most of these guys can come back from the UCL surgery. So let's say both those guys come back. I think Brady House looks like he's blending in nicely. Hassel showed some potential. Wood is a star. What's the second baseman? Garcia is a star. I mean, not a star, but he's a good hitter. Good hitter. I don't know.
I think it's Nationals
easier for
rebuild.
Them to be relevant. I think it's easier for them to be relevant.
See, to me, the question isn't about relevance. I think it's to compete for a championship.
Okay. The Wizards are light years from competing for a championship.
Yeah, but
light
all it years. Takes is one or two more really good players.
All right, tell
like
me who
the
it's
Pistons,
gonna be.
And maybe my definition of competing for a championship is different, but the Pistons, I think, are in a position now where they can compete for a championship. Maybe it's a long shot, but it took them a few years. They draft Ivy, they draft Cunningham, and eventually they've broken through to be a really competitive team in the Eastern Conference. All right? I think the Wizards can get there in a couple of years. Probably going to take 2 more years.
I would expect the Nats within 2 years are like right around 500. You know, competing for above that. Yeah.
Well, here's the question.
They should have already been there.
If Mark Lerner still owns the team in 2 years, when Mackenzie Gore is basically a free agent, he's got 2 more years of arbitration, then he's an unrestricted free agent in the year 2028. All right. So basically, in 2 more years, in the 2027 season, when he's approaching 2028. Let's just say he has really good years again and goes to the All-Star game. He's going to be a $200 to $300 million pitcher. Is Mark Lerner going to spend that on Mackenzie Gore? And then the year after that, C.J. Abrams in 29. Mm-hmm. He's got 3 years left of arbitration. These are guys that you're trying to build the team. James Wood, you got a ways to go because you control him.
If they're just
going to
give up every star, it's their turn to get a contract, then I give up.
Do you foresee Mark Lerner?
That's been the pattern, though.
Do you foresee Mark Lerner giving Mackenzie Gore a huge $200 to $300 million contract.
They've been more likely to do it to pitchers than they have been the hitters, right?
Maybe they need to flip that.
I don't know, man. That's why I'm saying I think a new owner is what they need to compete with those teams. Right now, I can see why Drabby is anti-Nats because they can't – with that roster, you need some stars as well as the young prospects.
I think
prospects.
They have some help coming.
James Wood looks like a star.
Yeah.
All right. And C.J. Abrams, like you said, has made the All-Star team before. Mackenzie Gore is going to make the All-Star team this year. But you got to keep them.
Ownership is a big part. Here's one from Vikas. Wizards have an owner willing to spend while the Nats owner isn't aggressive with free agency. I can see Leontis being aggressive with $115 million available for next season, making the Wizards a formidable team in the East. Nats, they'll be close. Learners won't spend on free agents. I mean, it's a constant theme. We've got dozens and dozens of responses. Most of them point to the ownership. Some have pointed to player development. I don't know. I know that there are 15 games under 500 right now, and it's year six.
Look, if Dylan Cruz
losing
now, Dylan Cruz.
Dude, the Wizards have been losing for 50 years.
That's not true.
It's largely true.
I understand they haven't made a championship, and
one or two, you know, first round runs. I mean, they've been nothing. They've been nothing.
Yeah, just a few seasons ago, they were making the playoffs.
But now you have to just throw all of that history out the window because you have a whole new team. A whole new regime,
right?
Running the squad,
right? But you know,
so I think you got to give Will Dawkins' team another 2 or 3 years to put this all together.
I'm not giving up on them, but I just think that process is just a great unknown.
If they've been in the playoffs,
it's a great unknown.
They've been in the playoffs more recently than the Nationals,
right?
Okay, but the Nats won a World Series.
You're including that play-in game, and then they got swept by the Sixers. That's not competitive.
They didn't get swept.
Five?
Yeah.
Five. That was 2020?
They've won one division title since 1979.
Yeah. But again, this is a whole new
executive
team running.
But I just think the whole tanking thing, sometimes it works. Sometimes it takes forever. Forever.
Yeah.
And I have yet to see the fruits of this one yet. It looks on paper like they're getting better. Sure. But, this could take 10 years. I certainly think the Nats will be
Which one? The Nats?
No, the Wizards.
But the Nats has already taken
five.
Consider this one a lost year, right?
To me, it doesn't really start until like 22, maybe.
I would say five. I'm throwing 2020 out.
2020, throw that out completely.
They only played
21.
They played 60 games in 2020. That wasn't even a real season.
Yeah. To me, it's just been the last couple years where I've started to expect more. I'm starting to expect more now. Wiz, I have no idea when to expect more. We said they might win 30 games last year, and Will laughed at us. And he was right.
I laughed at that notion. I never thought they were going to win 30 games.
Well, or 25, whatever it was. We thought they'd get maybe 5 or 6 games better or whatever. He laughed at us, and he was right.
Yeah.
Didn't Cakes and Jason win money on an under?
Yeah.
Maybe after talking to him.
800-636-1067. You're going to chime in. Which rebuild do you believe in more, the Wizards or the Nationals? All right, we're going to get to our Junkies Weekend Parlay here momentarily, but we were talking about the rebuilds. Let's sneak in this phone call before we get to our winners.
All right, let's go to Joe in Manassas. Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up, Junks? I love the show as always. And I was wondering, man, I think it's definitely going to be the Wizards just because of the ownership of the Nets. But that being said, has anybody asked Rizzo, like, how can he really, you know, he's really great at his job, but how can he feel like he's handcuffed what he can do as far as being the general manager? And why would you want to work for an ownership like that? He's so good at his job. Why would you want to be handcuffed what you can do?
He's not going to tell us. I mean, we can't ask. He's not going to tell us. He's going to be supportive of his bosses.
Because you don't think, I guess I'm the only person in town that thinks what they're doing kind of makes sense. When they know they're going to suck, they're not going to invest heavily in free agents. When they think they're close, then I'm going to go by their track record. And their track record of 10 years or so was spending money. They used to spend money. Do we think all of a sudden they're just not going to do it anymore? What?
That seems like a very fine line. Like, I mean, so you think you're going to, you just go over the top when you have that young
talent?
You
don't have to necessarily go over the top, but I think they're going to start to invest when they think this is a team that has a chance to be competitive. And I think right now they think they're going to be awful.
Would you want to work for a radio station that, like, isn't getting out to the masses, or you know what I mean? Like, why would you, but you know what I'm saying? Like, why would you want to be handcuffed at your job of what you can do? He's a great general manager, but you're limited to the ownership ahead of you. Like, I just don't
understand. I think there's a track record of the ownership spending money on Scherzer, giving money to Strasburg, giving money to Corbin. They get, you know, it didn't work and it wasn't anywhere close, but they offered Bryce whatever they offered him, $250 million.
But wasn't that the older learner, like Bishop was saying?
Yes, it was Ted. Yes.
Okay, so maybe you got me there. Maybe you got me there. Maybe you got me there. But they got billions.
Right. But that's exactly right.
But why should they spend it right now? I don't have a problem with them not spending right now. They're awful.
They're awful because they're not spending.
Okay, and they're not ready.
You can look at the flip side.
Yeah, okay, but they're not ready yet.
But you can't get close unless you couple the young studs with proven veterans.
I agree. They don't think they have enough young guys yet. They don't have enough young foundational pieces. They got rid of so many good players. It's going to take a while. For some reason, I'm dumb enough to think that they will spend again. And I'm basing my whole argument on that. If they're never going to spend, then forget it.
Well,
I'm off.
Well, that's why I was throwing those, you know, potential contract issues out with the young studs that they have. Now, you've got 3 or 4 years to go before you have to think about Abrams and Wood. But Mackenzie Gore, I mean, Garrett Crochet for the Red Sox, you probably never heard of Garrett Crochet. Mm-hmm. He's a stud pitcher. Mm-hmm. He signed a 6-year, $178 million deal. Mm-hmm. And if you look at his numbers, all right, he's a good pitcher, but he hasn't won a Cy Young. He hasn't put up huge 20-win seasons.
I think
Mackenzie Gore is going to be up for a big deal if he continues to get better.
Right.
Are they going to sign him?
Well, they have in the past.
Or are they going to trade him?
In the past, they have signed guys like that.
They've signed pitchers.
Yeah.
But this is a whole new regime.
What is it that we're doing? Are we doing a giveaway here, JP?
A weekend parlay.
Oh, okay.
All right, I can lead off. Do you guys know who the biggest draw in boxing is?
No idea.
They say it's Jake Paul. Hmm. And Jake Paul has a fight against a name. Mm-hmm. He's fighting Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Now, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. actually was a contender and a champion a little over a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
He fought Canelo, and he's back. He's 39 years old. He doesn't have a great track record. Mike Marr kind of got me nervous that he did lose to Anderson Silva a few years ago. That was 2021. So that's 4 years ago. Anderson Silva, one of the greatest all time in the world of the UFC, has also had some boxing matches, and he actually lost to Jake Paul. But I like the odds here. I'm going to take Julio Cesar Chavez to get the win at plus 440 over Jake Paul.
All right.
Okay.
Who's next? Spin the wheel.
All right. Behind the glass, Mike Moore.
All right.
By the way, who's putting this in? Because I have $0 on my FanDuel account.
I think Drabby's going to put it in.
All right, Drabby. All right. Let's go to Mike Moore.
UFC 317 International Fight Week tomorrow night in Las Vegas. Lightweight championships on the line. Ilia Topuria against Charles Oliveira. Topuria to win by knockout. He's 16-0. And going up to win his second belt with a statement win tomorrow night, he can become the face of the UFC. Charles Oliveira gets dropped in nearly every single fight, and Topuria is just the king of finding people's chins. His last two title fights, he knocked out Max Holloway, knocked out Volkanovski. So give me Topuria to win by knockout tomorrow night.
All right, you're in. Spin the wheel, Valdez.
We're just going to have to go. So who's up? We don't have time. We don't have time to spin the wheel.
No time for the shtick. All right. I'll go.
Okay.
I'm going to take Caitlin Clark's been struggling. I think she's like 1-for-23, something like that. We went through the numbers in her last three games.
1-for-23 from threes, yeah.
From threes. I think she was 0-for-6 in her last one. So I'm looking for a breakout. I'll take Caitlin Clark against the Dallas Wings to score 25 or more points. That's plus 290.
You know she's got a groin injury.
Well, she better play.
Yeah.
As long as she plays.
I think she sat out last night because of her groin.
As long as she plays.
Did she sit out last
night? Yeah, this is it.
You don't like it?
That's fine. Whatever.
But if she doesn't play, then
it's canceled.
It'll just void it.
So that's okay. The bet will still, the parlay will still.
She might be on like a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Minute restriction. Like, what if she's only in for 12 minutes?
Well, still go with it.
I'm going with it.
We're going with it.
I'm going with it. Plus, I like plus 290.
All right, let's go back behind the glass. Mr. Valdez.
I'm going to do Angel Reese over 16 rebounds. That's 5-1. Last game,
WNBA.
Last game, she had 19. The game before that, she has 17. She's been a rebounding monster. Angel Reese over 16 rebounds pays 5-1.
All right.
Ooh, the odds are mountain high. Like it.
All righty, Richie, Ricardo. All right, I'll go. One of the hottest hitters. Remember Juan Soto was getting killed about 3 or 4 weeks ago because
bat speed
was down, and they were saying it was a bust for contract, blah, blah, blah. Well, he's been one of the hottest hitters the last, call it, 14 games. And, in fact, the last seven games, he's got 5 home runs and 22 at-bats. He's playing against the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight and going against a pitcher who is 1-10, Mitch Keller. I'm going to go Juan Soto hits a bomb off of Keller or somebody else in the Pirates' pen at plus 450 tonight.
All right, and that leaves Drabby.
We might be millionaires if these hit.
Of course. We're going for it.
All right, I'm going to take Eury Pérez is the Marlins' young phenom, but he's been struggling ever since he came back here a couple weeks ago. I think he's due for give me an average game, Eury. Give me 5 strikeouts tonight against the Diamondbacks. That's plus 100. Easy. Cash that one. So that's all 6 of us.
Okay. Eury
Pérez, 5 strikeouts.
All right, you want to give the recap real quick?
I've got Julio Cesar Chavez at plus 440. We've got Topuria knockout, Caitlin Clark over 25 points, Angel Reese with 16 or more rebounds, Soto hitting a home run, and Eury Pérez with 5 or more strikeouts.
All right, without any sort of boost, $10 parlay. 6-leg parlay pays $22,000.
Nice. That's
22K. Yeah, let's go.
Rooting for.
All right, if we're going to hit one, might as well hit this one.
We got Will Dawkins, Wizards GM, joining us at 8:25. Don't go anywhere.